You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Throughout most of his career, we're used to seeing Tom Brady shine when the lights are the brightest, but he certainly struggled in prime time. He did again last night in the loss to the Rams. He's 1-3 in primetime games this season. And it's not always about the quarterback, but it feels like when it's Tom Brady, it's either really good or really bad. And last night, he struggled against the Rams' pressure. He had two costly interceptions, including one to close out the game in the fourth quarter. We overreact to every game. We do it for everybody. But in particular, when it's marquee players, marquee quarterbacks, coaches. And last night, watching Tom Brady struggle with the deep ball, you have to have some questions here about how good is this team. Who they've beaten and who they've lost to, because they do not beat really good teams. They blew out Green Bay, and we had them all figured out, right? And then they get blown out, and then we don't have them figured out. And then here they are at 7-4. The Rams were a better team last night. Rams didn't run the ball, but they were a better all-around team. You don't make mistakes. They put some pressure on Brady. Brady is still getting used to Antonio Brown. I think he's trying to force the ball a little bit too much to his other wide receivers. It feels like Brady wants the home run ball. And I was looking at some stats here because I thought maybe Brady just can't throw the deep ball. Let's go all the way back to 2019. Brady was the NFL's fourth best quarterback at throwing the deep ball. Now, it's strange to see it because Bruce Arians loves the deep ball. Brady didn't really get the opportunity or have the weapons in New England to throw the deep ball on a consistent basis, but he's got Mike Evans there. And it feels like you're just screaming for Mike Evans to get the ball more, but it felt like Brady was trying to get the ball to him more. Antonio Brown is where I'd want to go. I would just get him the ball in space and let him do something there. It feels like they're getting away from what they do really well. I would run the football, and I would have a lot of these shorter passes there. And then you may take a home run shot there. But Brady, in 15 or more yards downfield on his attempts last night, was 1-for-10 with 18 yards, no touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. That's alarming. Because at some point, you know, Brady is not going to be able to make those throws. I don't know if that means now. He could come back. They got a game against Kansas City. He could throw 4 touchdowns. But the inconsistency is what's going to hurt them eventually. You have to be able to win when you're not playing well. And it doesn't feel like Tampa's able to do that. Here's Brady after last night's loss and the final interception.
Yeah, just bad read. And, Cam was running up the seam. And just at the last second, I saw the safety coming over and just, popped it over Cam's head. So just a bad read, bad throw, decision, everything.
The Buccaneers' longest offensive play was an 18-yard completion to Mike Evans. Now, he had some drops. Running backs, Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones had some drops. But still, Brady, when he gets pressured, as most quarterbacks will do, looks more human. And you saw that last night. I've slept on the Rams, it feels like, since the start of the season, prior to the start of the season. And the reason is, I think we go back to the Super Bowl and you say, you know what? They fooled us back then. They got to the Super Bowl, but they scored 3 points. That's not fair to the Rams, but it feels like we all abandoned ship. You know, Sean McVay, the genius, maybe not. Jared Goff, taking the next step, maybe not. All I know is they have Aaron Donald. And I thought that they had a pretty good running game. They did not last night. They had 51 pass attempts. They had 37 rushing yards. The Buccaneers had 48 pass attempts. 42 rushing yards. But Cooper Kupp looked great last night, and that's a huge win for the Rams because it is really crowded in the NFC West. I don't know what the Niners are going to do the rest of the season. I don't know how healthy they can get. Feels like they might be in a spoiler role there. Arizona, we know, is dangerous. Rams, going to be competitive, and then you have Seattle. And Seattle is getting a little bit more of a defense here. NFC West is the most competitive division we have in football right now. Yes, McLovin.
We're being so week to week on Brady. He had 46 against the Panthers last week. That's a decent team. They almost beat the Chiefs. It's not a terrible team.
It's not a good team.
They took the Chiefs to the last drive of the game in KC, and that's a Chiefs team that everyone thinks is going to blow the doors off the Bucs. Who knows?
Do you feel confident that you know what you're going to get with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
In the daytime, yes. I don't.
The Super Bowl is played at night, just to let you know, McLevin.
Yeah, but no, I don't think that they're the best team, but they're not as bad as everyone's like, Brady is toast. You know, I feel like he's going to have some more good games, right? A couple big ones.
Yeah, but my problem is they're not beating good teams. Each of the Buccaneers' losses was versus NFC teams who have a record of 500 or better. They're not beating the teams they're going to be facing in the playoffs, or one of these teams they're going to face in the playoffs. They're not beating good teams. And that's their four losses. That's what's concerning. I want to know, how good are you? Who did you beat? Where did you beat them? How did you beat them? You know, the Green Bay game was unbelievable, what they did after being down 10-0. I just don't know what they have week in and week out. It feels like what Brady's philosophy should be or game plan is different than what Bruce Arians' philosophy or game plan should be. But if you look at every team in the NFC right now, everybody has a big question mark with them. Seattle, did they solve their defense? If they did, look out. But it felt like Russell Wilson was forcing the ball, you know, the three previous weeks. Packers are up and down. Lost to the Colts. Not quite sure what you have with them. The Saints quarterbacking situation there. Jared Goff, can he be consistent? You're going to be throwing the ball 45, 50 times. NFC East is not any good. So you have question marks there. It's wide open for somebody to take this. I'm just surprised. It feels like Tampa's game plan, week in and week out, I'm not quite sure who they are. And the Rams are a good defense. You know, I take nothing away from that performance last night, but this is Brady, Tampa, in Tampa. The Rams, I think this is the fifth time in the last eight games that they've gone to an Eastern time zone. And that to me is a game that Tampa has to win. Has to win. Yeah, McLevin.
Can we do a revisionist poll question? Where should Tom Brady have gone? And if hypothetically...
Oh my gosh.
Hypothetically, if the Colts, the Titans, and the Niners, the teams that they were rumored for him, were all on the table, and Tampa Bay. I feel like a month ago, we're like, he made a brilliant choice. They got Lavonte David, and now we're like, oh, he picked the wrong place.
No, I think that he went to the right place. He wanted to have fun. He had weapons. I don't think the offensive line is great. I think it just has to be good enough. He got Gronk there, Antonio Brown. I mean, Brady's gotten everything he wants. Gronk is there. Antonio Brown is there. He got weapons. He's having fun. Got out of New England. I mean, I don't feel sorry for him. I'm just curious what the philosophy is week to week. Like, what do they do against Kansas City? Are they going to get in a shootout with Kansas City? Are they going to try to run the ball against Kansas City? Yeah, McLevin.
Did you say, I forgot, the Bears, right?
That was the surprise team that nobody knew about.
Would that be one that would have been a better option for his style?
No.
That's not a good option for anybody's style.
No.
Maybe he's got to hand the ball off more.
No. Let's not be silly. They got Kansas City coming up, then a bye week. They got Minnesota, Atlanta, Detroit, and Atlanta. All right, they got 7 wins here. I'm assuming 10 wins. Is that going to be enough? Not to win your division. Tampa could end up on the road in Dallas or New York for the playoffs. Philadelphia for the playoffs. On the road. Yeah, McLevin.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be heavy favorites if they get one of those teams.
Will they?
Yeah, good question.
I have no idea right now.
I mean, they barely beat the Giants. I like the Bears. Imagine what are they, like 5-5 now? With Brady, they'd
no,
be...
No,
like,
I don't want to go down this road, Andy. This is stupid. I don't want to do this. I mean, I'm dealing with something that's happening now.
But you said Bruce Arians might be the wrong style. That's why I was thinking.
But he's there. You can change the style. He's not...
Can you?
Yes, of course you can.
I feel like Arians is so set in his way. We saw it last night. He just wouldn't. He just kept going downfield.
Yeah, but I'm not into revisionist history. Maybe he should have stayed with the Patriots. I mean, he's there in Tampa. Now what do you do? Now how do you make this better? And I know it's week to week, prime time, standalone game. We do this. We dissect it even more. I just don't know if Tom Brady is capable of being a consistent deep ball passer. He has more interceptions now at this stage than he did all of last year. That's concerning. Now, I know it's a new team, getting used to Gronk and Antonio Brown in there. I get all of those things. But this is Brady, and the expectation levels should be high. Yeah, Seton.
I was going to jump from one stupid topic to another, if you'll allow me.
All right, sure.
Do we dive into the snub yet, or should we save that for later in the show?
I want to bring that up here in a moment. MasterClass offers over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field. And this holiday, when you buy an annual membership, get another annual membership for free. Go to masterclass.com/Patrick. That's masterclass.com/Patrick. No, there is not a class on throwing the deep ball by Tom Brady with MasterClass.
Oh, dang. That's a shot.
Okay.
I just teed up that stupid question. I'm hearing Paul also has a stupid topic. Do you want to hear Paul's stupid topic before diving into the snub?
Is it stupider than your stupid topic?
Yes.
Okay.
I guarantee you the Rams will not win the Super Bowl till they ditch those uniforms.
Bad uniforms last night.
Yeah, and they can't play in the Super Bowl looking like that. I like the Rams. I think they're a good team. But the way they look right now, they cannot advance to the Super Bowl.
It felt like they didn't finish the uniform. Like they started and they said, oh, come on, we got to go. And then all of a sudden they just took the uniforms and put them on. And like Penn State, all right, I can let Penn State, I'll give them a hall pass. They have a classy look to them. Rams uniform, not good last night.
It looks like a practice uniform that's a little dingy. And they said, let's fire up these new blue numbers and slap them on the practice uniform. Again, I like the Rams. They had some of the best uniforms in history. Not right now.
All right, Seton, bring up your stupider comment.
Well, one, it's stupid that things like this are even a topic point of like who did or didn't shake hands. But damn, Tom, just shake the man's hand. What do you have to do that for? You know it's going to be a thing. Is it like, does he deliberately do that because he knew he threw two picks and he's like, well, I'd rather talk about snubbing Jared Goff than I would about the two interceptions I threw?
Well, he had to talk about the two interceptions he threw. I don't know if he talked about the snub, but I don't get it.
Just shake his hand.
It takes no effort. You do that with Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, but you don't do that with Jared Goff and Nick Foles. Come on.
We're checking the numbers. Does he only shake hands after wins, Brady? This season. We're checking the number.
Did you see Aaron Rodgers after the game with Philip Rivers? I'm going to guess they spent 5 minutes together talking like a real conversation.
Been to St. Elmo's yet? Yeah, I know. The shrimp is real good.
Yeah. That sauce is really hot.
I know. It's like a punch and then it's gone. Oh, it's good.
How many kids you got now? Yeah, I lost track too. Yeah. But they spent about 5 minutes talking to one another. I don't know why Tom doesn't do that. Just ignore, you know, this is a big deal for Jared Goff. It makes Goff feel secondary, I think, in people's eyes. Like, oh, Tom, he won't acknowledge Jared Goff. He won't acknowledge, oh, Nick Foles after the Super Bowl. Just go over and just give him dap and then just say, hey, good game. See ya.
Nice job.
That's it. I mean, I understand, you know, Harbaugh and Vrabel not shaking hands after the Titans-Ravens game. That was heated. I get it. But this? You threw an interception. Jared Goff didn't have anything to do with it. Let's go over and acknowledge it. Yeah, Paul.
After Tampa beat the Bears earlier this season, the cameras are always trained to get that quarterback handshake. And there's this camera on Foles. He's looking around like his dog just ran out into traffic. And there's Brady at full tilt going to the locker room. And just you see Foles going, where is he? Where is he?
Well, we had him on the next day, and I said, how did that feel? And he goes, you know, no big deal. Like, he was trying to blow it off because he's Nick Foles. But I would be like, give me a break, dude.
Well, see, that's the thing. Maybe there is a good reason that they don't do it, and quarterbacks are like, oh, it's fine. But watching now, you know, Twitter is full of Jared Goff looking all over the field and dapping every other player, and he's looking, and he's going high, trying to find where Tom is to see. At least that's what you think he's doing. It just looks so bad.
Yeah, it is a bad look. It is. I get you're frustrated. You know, every year when I lose the Sports Emmy, I still congratulate Bob Costas. Yes, Paul.
But these, if you watch on Twitter, there's all these headlines about Brady, and they're very careful to not accuse of anything. Tom Brady appears to snub Jared Goff and post him. Appears to. They can't just say he snubbed him. Appears to, because you don't want to offend him.
Wait, how does it appear he snubbed him? He snubbed him.
All signs point to a snubbing? Question mark.
Well, because you don't know for sure that they were snubbed. Maybe he had said something earlier. You know, maybe there was a pregame like, hey, good luck, but hey, I'm not going to shake your hand after the game, but good luck today. I don't know.
Oh, so you're giving the postgame handshake in the pregame.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What if Goff said that to Brady? Like, hey, I'm not going to shake your hands post, but let me just give you some dab now.
Yeah, Brady would be like, great, thank you.
Because I get to the locker room because we're going to beat you tonight, Tom.
But like, just make sure, though, that you're the one that snubbed me and not that I snubbed you, okay?
I know it's not supposed to be a big deal, but it becomes a bigger deal because it's Brady. Like, I expect him to be classy even in defeat. This isn't a big deal. It's 15 seconds of just acknowledging somebody who doesn't get acknowledged, you know, the way Brady does or Mahomes does or Rodgers does. And that's where you'd go, Jared Goff beat you last night. Acknowledge. Nick Foles beat you earlier in the season. Acknowledge it. Yeah, see.
And it's like, it's part of the responsibility of being the greatest quarterback of all time is that handshake for you, it means more to everybody else.
Yes,
that it's important. It's part of like almost your contract. You have to do that.
It's a great point. It is. It is a great point.
That's like the, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. Yeah, dude, because you have to go shake these dudes because they're not going to be great. And that getting that acknowledgement means the world to those people.
I don't know if Brady was asked about this post game. But maybe Marvin, who gathers the sound, can look for that. I got a few things from Arians and Brady, but even Jared Goff, he just talked about the win. I don't know if he was asked about the snub, but maybe we can find something on there. I don't know what Tom's philosophy is on that or what is, you know. You lost. You got caught up. You're lost. You're disappointed. Okay. Maybe it was bedtime. Because Tom likes to get to bed early, and that game went late. He likes to get in bed by around 9:15. So maybe he just said, look, I was tired. I got to get to bed. Yeah, Paul.
Brady's holding out for Monday afternoon football. Dun, 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 dun. Like a 4 o'clock start.
What kind of poll questions do we have, McLevin?
How about like as a consensus on Brady? Is this question fair? Will Tom Brady win a playoff game this year? Like, what's the expectation? Because I don't think we're talking Super Bowl yet. I mean, how far is it? Basically, is Tom Brady toast or is he still good? I don't know how you ask that.
Oh, I would never write him off.
Yeah.
No. Not until he retires. I've learned, man. I would never write him off, especially in a playoff game. But I am curious. There's a disconnect somewhere on that offense. I'm not quite sure what it is, but there's a disconnect there. I don't know if it's what Tom wants to do or what Bruce Arians wants to do, but last night it was evident there. Maybe they rectify that, but you got Kansas City coming up, and then you have a bye week. And then you should be able to squeeze out, I'm guessing, 3 more wins. So you're 10-6, and you're going to be on the road first round of the playoffs. That doesn't bode well. What other poll questions do you have?
I was going to ask something you brought up pre-show. Who do you trust in the NFC? Like, who's the favorite? Is there, and you mentioned earlier in this segment too, is there like one team? The Saints look great, but Breeze is injured.
Yeah, but they look really good.
They look good against the Bucs. That's the one.
Yeah, they did.
Great.
Yeah, they did.
Packers.
See, what the Packers did in the second half concerns me. You know, they went 3-and-out a couple of times. The offense, it felt like, got to a point. And they said, that's it. We got enough. We're up 2 touchdowns here. And as much as I want to put it on the defense to allow the Colts to come back, I got to put a little bit on the offense as well. I don't know if they took the foot off the accelerator, but it just felt like we're up 2 touchdowns. We're going to beat the Colts. I have concerns about everybody. I mean, it feels like everybody in the NFC is flawed. Yeah, McLevin.
Speaking of flawed, I have one more poll question. Who's winning that NFC East?
I don't care.
Somebody's got to win it.
I know, but I don't care. I don't. I got to take a week off from it. I mean, the most exciting thing out of the NFC East was Mike McCarthy smashing watermelons. Smashing watermelons prior to the game. He went Gallagher, and that's how he fired up the Cowboys with their game against Minnesota. Yes, Todd.
But don't you want the Cowboys to find a way to win the division? Isn't it better for sports talk and for us when Dallas is a team that's in it as opposed to any of the other 3 that are far less interesting?
Sure. Sure. But I have to take a week off from the NFC East because it feels like every single week it's Giants getting better. Carson Wentz needs to be benched. What's wrong with the Cowboys? Could the Cowboys win this? Jalen Hurts needs to be in there. Hey, the Giants could win. Hey, don't rule out Washington. It feels like there's we just keep extracting storylines from teams that aren't any good. I'm going to take a week off. Yeah, Paul.
I thought that Mike McCarthy sledgehammer watermelon story was a goof. That's a real story. Do you think he went in cold, like he didn't practice at home? You think you'd want to practice so you nail it?
I don't know how you can't laugh. Like, if I was in there and my coach started smashing watermelons, I'd go, God, we're in trouble.
Or I want to play harder and try to win this weekend.
Because he's smashing watermelons?
Look at the result.
No, but I don't want him doing it again.
Oh, you can't break the streak. You don't mess with the streak when you're winning. You got to go watermelons every week now. You never mess with the streak. Dan, you're a former athlete. You know that.
No, yes, Todd.
Shouldn't you be smashing pumpkins leading up to Thanksgiving if you're going to pick something? That would be the way to go.
That'd be Halloween.
It's still fall, Thanksgiving. People pumpkin pie. It could have been pumpkins, you know, the days leading up to Thanksgiving. Why watermelon?
It's fair if it was a summer sport. Yeah.
It's more seasonally appropriate, the pumpkin.
Yes, McLeod.
Maybe you could mash potatoes this week.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of which, Todd, do you have your Turkey Day related sports names for tomorrow?
Of course I do. I added a few late last night and even a couple early this morning. I think I have like 65 names, and you're going to hate probably 62 of them.
Well, you're not going to do all 65 of them.
I will do as many as you will allow me to do.
I'm going to give you 10.
10?
10? I'll give you 10. I'll give you 50. It depends. You get to go as long as you're good.
Okay, that's fair. If we're going, maybe it's like a three strikes kind of thing, and yeah, you'll decide. And then once we get to the third strike, you can pull the plug.
Then that'll be tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have that for you.
And Aaron Rodgers tomorrow.
Aaron Rodgers tomorrow.
How about that?
All right, great. We got him after a loss. Can't wait. All right, we'll take a break. Wow, we're getting backed up here. We'll check in with the Bengals. Dave Lapham is the Bengals radio color analyst. His thoughts on Joe Burrow going down. I mentioned yesterday at this time, I thought it was a more serious knee injury, and it turns out that's the case. I think you're looking at least a 9-month to 12-month rehab process here for Joe Burrow. I don't know if he'll be ready for the start of next season. I think it might be one of those where it could be in the, you know, once they get into the season, Joe Burrow might be able to come back. But it's a long process, at least 9 months, maybe up to 12 months for Joe Burrow. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. The big story yesterday, we were talking about the blame game with the Bengals. Joe Burrow is out. It looks like it's going to be maybe 9 months, maybe up to 12 months. There's some structural damage, it looks like, in there. And we reached out to Dave Lapham. Dave is a former offensive lineman for the Bengals, and he has been the color analyst on radio for the Bengals for 35 years now, and he joins us on the program. Dave, what's the local reaction to Joe Burrow's injury?
Since that you go through, you know, crestfallen, disappointment, can't believe it, everything and all emotions that you can imagine, I think. The worst nightmare came true.
What about blame?
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around. everybody's suit's dirty there. When an injury like that occurs, the reaction is emotional, and blame is going from ownership to coaches to players to everything and all-inclusive for sure.
But you're a former offensive lineman. Assess that offensive line, and should Joe Burrow have been attempting at least 40 passes per game?
Well, you know, the offensive line, honestly, in my opinion, there's maybe 8 offensive lines in football that I think are really a cut above. Everybody else is just offensive line play, in my opinion, is not good in the NFL overall. I mean, I keep reading about teams giving up 6 sacks, 8 sacks. I've been in that department. Is it even average. I'm not sure you could even say that it approaches average at this point in time. But they were getting better, and part of the reason they were getting better was because Joe Burrow was starting to understand that he had to get the ball out of his hand very quickly, and the rhythm and coordination and timing of everything that was going on between Joe and his offensive line was as important as that had to go on between Joe and his receivers. So they were growing together. But that's how they had to approach it in their mind to win football games. Joe Burrow was clearly their best player and felt like they had to throw the football for Joe to win football games with Joe Burrow. And Dan, a lot of their passing game was an extension of the running game. A lot of these throws were like, keep being the shotgun, catch a shotgun snap, find the laces, throw it. I mean, it was out.
Yeah.
And it was almost like a long lateral. You know, they ran screens, they ran, you know, their quick passing game was a big, big part of their offense, particularly when they started to figure out that, you know, the offensive line and Joe were best married in that type of a rhythm. So, and it was advancing. And unfortunately, it's going to be put on hold for a while.
Zach Taylor coaching for his job, Dave?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it's with the injury that took place, now it's just pure speculation. They had a lead over a Washington football team they felt like they could have beaten when Joe went out. So, you know, is your mindset, well, could have beaten Washington and could have beaten some of these other teams that are going to be coming up on the schedule here with Joe Burrow? Is it fair to Zach to say that, you know, he's going to be graded on trying to beat these teams without Joe Burrow? I mean, so many factors come into the equation, I guess. And Mike Brown, by nature, is extremely patient with respect to coaches. I think what Art Modell did to his dad left a lifelong impression on him. And he gives coaches benefit of the doubt whenever it's questionable. He's gonna side on, you know, let's give him more time. So I can't answer that question, but my feeling is that with what just took place, I think Mike Brown is not going to pull a quick trigger.
Is this franchise cursed?
Boy, that's the first thing every fan talks about. You know, it's, boy, welcome to the curse, Joe. It's amazing. When I saw Joe Burrow go down, I immediately flashed back to the other number nine going down, Carson Palmer. And I said my first reaction was the exact same statement. Carson's down. Oh, Burrow's down. I mean, it's just almost like, I can't believe this. Almost the exact same type of situation. Now, Carson wasn't high load. It was only load. But most of the damage came from the low hit. And it was a clean, you know, play. It was just a bull rush and guard and defensive tackle slam into the knee of Joe Burrow. And the damage was because, you know, you can pop an ACL just by a violent cut and it just pops and no collateral damage. Well, this was a traumatic injury and it just slammed and it went the wrong way and all the things that go along with it. So ACL, MCL, people thinking potentially PCL, cartilage, you know, God forbid, nerve damage, all these things come to your mind because of that traumatic injury. And there is extensive damage there. It's not just ACL, MCL, is my understanding. They won't know exactly how bad it is till they go do the surgery and then have to let swelling subside before they even do that. So, you know, it's when you look at it, three of their first picks of the draft tore ACLs. John Carter's was a topped ACL with a violent cut up in Detroit in the preseason. Carson Palmer's was traumatic. Joe Burrow's was traumatic. Man, wouldn't want to be the first pick of the draft for the Bengals, I guess. That's a curse.
Any chance the Bengals bring in Colin Kaepernick?
I'm not sure about that one. That would be an interesting one. I think that they elevated Allen from the practice squad because he's familiar with the system and all that sort of thing. And Dolagala is on the Patriots practice squad. He's a guy that has been in the Bengals organization very recently, and they have a pretty good handle on what he's about. I wonder how strong the conversations are with respect to Colin Kaepernick. That's one that obviously comes to mind. It came to my mind, but I just wonder. I don't have any kind of a handle on where they are in that regard.
Dave, it's good to talk to you. Keep stirring it up. We love the excitement, and we appreciate you joining us.
My pleasure, Dan. Thank you, sir.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Last season, Michigan State went 22-9. They will open up tomorrow against Eastern Michigan, currently ranked 13th in the nation, and their longtime head coach, Tom Izzo, joining us. Coach, how are you feeling?
Feeling better, Dan. Thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, but you had COVID. How bad was it?
You know, it wasn't real bad, but it was no joke either. You know, I listen to people talk about how it just comes and goes. It took me 12, 13 days, and I was quarantined for 11 of them. And then I just, never felt real, real bad, thank God, but never felt comfortable either. So I'm glad I'm heading down the right direction the last two, 3 days. I've actually been in practice yesterday, full go. Plan on being there today, and I don't know. I plan on being there tomorrow, so that's the game plan right now.
What are the protocols there for your team, day in and day out?
We get tested every day here. We're in that antigen testing, so we're testing every morning at 7:30 in the morning, and I think that helped because it helps for the contact tracing as far as the spreading of the disease, but you know, it's right now we've had some kids that had it early, like in September when school started, and we've been pretty COVID free other than this crazy coach, you know, and I think I went through every protocol that I could go through and still have it.
As far as fans in the stands, will there be fans?
No, we're not. You know, most of the Big Ten, I don't think will, but it does go more by state, as you know. And so right now for us in Michigan, I think the protocol here is there'll be no fans in the stands.
As far as trying to bubbleize this season or, you know, what are we doing with March Madness? Where do you stand on this of trying to get this season in and doing it as safely as possible?
Well, I'm big on trying to get the season in, and I'm big on trying to do it as safely as possible. I'm a mask wearer myself, and yet it didn't serve me as well as I'd hoped. But, you know, I think until we get to the brunt of it, then that is going to be get the young kids to, you know, who don't get as sick maybe but are transmitting it. You see what we're in right now in our country, and I don't want to get into all the political stuff because I'm not a politician. All I know is that I believe we've got to take care of ourselves and worry about the people around us. And if we do that, I think we'll be able to manage it. I really do.
How do you get this message through to an 18-year-old?
Well, I got one at home, a 20-year-old, a 19-year-old, I guess, and I've got a 24-year-old. And, of course, I've got a 15, 17 to 22-year-olds every year of my life in this job. And you know, you beg, borrow, you steal, you plead, you get other people to tell stories. You look at what's out there. I scour all places like yours. And, you know, when you guys have stories about different things, good, bad, and indifferent, I just try to relate them because me lecturing them doesn't really do it. But the NBA has helped me, Dan, because of the bubble they did. And I said, if LeBron James can spend 3 months without seeing his family or friends, you know, it's part of sacrificing. And sacrificing isn't a word. Accountability and sacrifice, I think, left the Webster's Dictionary in the last couple of years. So we've got to get that back a little bit. There's got to be a little sacrifice for all of us. And this is how I try to preach it to our players.
How's recruiting changed?
A lot of Zoom, just like I'm doing with you. you know, can I sign you?
I got 1 year of eligibility left.
Yeah, but the gene pool has been shrinking over the years.
Wow.
I know. Wow. But, hey, your team last year, boy, I tell you what, you had the best, maybe the best team in the country. And, you know, it was a shame it ended that way. But for us, recruiting has gone pretty well. I think people like hearing me on Zoom better than they do seeing me in person because we've actually had a pretty good recruiting year.
You got Imani Bates. He's given a verbal commitment to Michigan State for 2022.
Well, I can't talk about anybody who has not signed. So
okay, so even a verbal commitment, you can't talk about somebody. Okay. Ooh,
Yeah. Don't make me violate.
No, Dan. I don't want to get you in trouble there. I was just curious because it seems like this possible recruit could be like a LeBron James type of talent there. But when you're selling, are you selling to parents more on Zoom or are you selling to the kid?
You know, it's been interesting. The one advantage I think we've had in our recruiting right now is you're dealing more with parents and the kid compared to, you know, when you're allowed out and there's so many people involved, there's a posse of people involved in this recruiting. And I think this has kind of caused everybody to home into family. And it's that's worked better for us, to be honest with you. And I think a lot of people. So hopefully it brings things back in order. That would be great, I think, for the recruiting process in general.
Where are we headed with college basketball and the styles in college basketball? Because I don't know if college emulates the NBA or is it vice versa, but where are we with the three-pointer, that philosophy, shoot 7 seconds or less? Is college basketball embracing that?
You know, it's been funny to watch because I'm with you. You know, you're seeing these quarterbacks in the NFL, and it's almost like the NFL is starting to embrace college, where normally the pecking order is we do what the pros do, and then it filters down into the high schools. And but I think there is more three-point shooting in college. I think, it's just the way the game is. It seems like you're either dunking or shooting a three. The mid-range game of Michael Jordan and guys like that is kind of disappearing. But I think you're going to see the big man come back a little bit. I really do. I don't think it's going to be all run and gun and shoot and that's how you're going to win. I mean, the Rockets, weren't as successful doing that. I think the team that really I've appreciated, probably because I got Draymond there, but, you know, when you look at Golden State, they shoot a lot of threes, but they run a lot. They did to get the ball inside. And they're very good defensively. Yeah. And I think that's what gets lost in the shuffle. Everybody thinks it's just an offensive game now. I think the Lakers won because they were very good defensively. I think Miami got to the finals because they were very good defensively.
Give me the player that you're I don't want to say shocked. That's not fair to the player. But you're really surprised that what you saw in college, he's so much better than that in the pros.
Wow. You mean one of my players?
No. Somebody, anybody you coached against where you went, wow, I did not see that coming. Like Klay Thompson, I did not see that coming.
I would agree to that. We didn't play against Klay, but, I didn't see that. Steph Curry, I didn't see that coming, like what he's done. It's fun to watch guys. I recruited the Booker kid, and I thought he'd be a good player. But he's turning out to be a phenomenal player. You know, it's fun to watch guys that, you thought would be good players and get to be great players. And I don't know, that was a tough question right off the go. But I think guys that are getting better in college every year have a tendency to get better in pro bowl every year. And it's been fun to watch the resurgence. Like I really enjoyed watching Miami this year.
Yeah.
They play so hard. They're so tough. They're so Pat Riley-ish and their head coach Bolstra, it was almost like give Jimmy Butler a lot of credit. He reinvented himself and it was a fun team to watch.
But also I look at LeBron and when I talk to younger basketball players, I say, always add something, keep adding something. The great players keep adding, Mike would take you down on the blocks and Jordan added that late to his game. Kobe did the same thing. Magic developed a little bit better jump shot or set shot there. And then you see LeBron is going to extend his greatness by extending his ability to shoot the three-point shot. He doesn't have to go in and dunk, and he's still one of the great passers of all time. And I always say, look to those guys. They kept adding. And sometimes players get to a certain level, and then they stop. And as a coach, how do you get them to take that next step to go, you were great in high school. That doesn't mean anything once you get to college and then when you get to the pros.
Well, I think what I've learned about LeBron or Kobe Bryant, you're right. They add to their game, but you know what they've added to more than anything is to their bodies. They take care of themselves. Kids nowadays are reckless, and I think, you know, in LeBron James, what he's done with his body and what he's invested, if you read anything about him, is incredible. I mean, yes, he's added a jump shot. He's a better jump shooter. But I think the two intangibles that separate LeBron James right now is physically his body, how he's kept it, and his leadership skills. I mean, I watch different guys go to them, and they just become better players when they're around him. He has a way of demanding but not being abrasive. I don't know what he's like when you're there, but his leadership skills. So as guys develop things, a lot of times the last thing they want to develop is leadership skills or their own personalities. You know, I hear a lot from parents, well, that's his personality. Well, you want me to change his jump shot? You want me to change his strength? You want me to change his ball handling skills? Sometimes his personality is what separates the Tom Brady's or the LeBron James or Magic Johnson was, you know, one of the ultimate leaders who makes people around him better. And that's a hard skill to find right now, Dan.
Do you have that kind of green carpet at home?
No, I just got it right here, man. And I'm going to send you some if you want it. Oh, it would go good with your ensemble there that you got.
Has anything been thrown in that office before?
Oh, yeah, that couple of those chairs, you know. Yeah, you know, we're in the Big Ten, so we, you know, ask Bobby Knight, we throw chairs and stuff. And but it's been a fun office. When I look back, I've been in this office now 21 years of my 25, and a lot of great guys have come through it. A lot of interesting late-night meetings in this office, but it's been fun.
What's the coolest thing in your office?
The coolest thing in my office? Geez, I don't know. It's probably a picture of my parents. You know, I miss my dad, and I think of them often. But I got a lot of cool things in here. There's memories and a lot of guys that help make me who I am. So I get to be on your show.
Well, Coach, good luck tomorrow night. More importantly, the entire season, Eastern Michigan against Michigan State. Good to talk to you again, Coach. Glad you're feeling better.
Well, thanks, Dan. Keep masking up. Stay safe. And I'll look forward to seeing you down the road.
And maybe one day we can talk about that basketball recruit that could be coming in 2022.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. He's Josh Duhamel back on the program. Got a new movie. It's called Buddy Games. And it's after a falling out, six lifelong friends reunite to play the Buddy Games, an insane competition filled with the absurd physical and mental challenges. Now all bets are off as the determined pals fight, claw, and party for the chance to win $150,000. How did I do with that voiceover there, Josh?
That was beautiful. You know, I almost wish I'd have made a different creative decision there, Dan.
And had me voice it over?
Exactly.
I could do it. I always wanted to do, you know what, DVD commentary. But I always wanted to do that in a world. And then that's how all these movie trailers start, in a world.
Yeah. You know, those guys who do those make a lot of money. Yeah. That would be a good side hustle for you.
Yeah.
And you could do it.
I'd like that. We spent the last 4 minutes prior to you coming on Googling who you're dating. McLovin, who is Josh dating right now?
Well, I have it's hard to keep track of this, but Audra Molly?
Mari, yeah.
Is she from North Dakota?
She is from North Dakota.
Is she there?
She's there now, yes. I was just there 2 days ago.
Oh, but she's not there at your place?
No, she's not. She's actually in Fargo.
Okay, but you couldn't date somebody from South Dakota, could you?
Well, I could date somebody from anywhere, but I choose to date her.
Well, I know, but you're from North Dakota. Would you date somebody from South Dakota?
That would be weird, no?
No, it would. I don't know. Do you have something against South Dakota?
I have nothing against South Dakota. You know, she's actually got a place. Her family has a lake cabin like less than an hour from mine out there. And I didn't know that when I first met her. It was sort of a chance, you know, one of those lucky little circumstances.
But not wedding bells. We're dating.
Dan, really?
What? I'm going to plug the movie, but I got to get a little gossip in here. I got to make Entertainment Tonight. Come on.
She is a keeper. I'll put it that way. Okay. She's okay. Definitely a keeper.
How's Axel doing?
He's doing great. He's still asleep. We went to bed a little late last night. I was up. I was gone all day yesterday doing press for this movie, and he was he wanted some daddy time. So we spent we watched the Hotel for Dogs last night.
Ooh.
You know, and we stayed up a little past his bedtime. So he's still sleeping. No school this week.
Does he know what you do for a living?
Sure. He hasn't seen this movie, though. He probably won't for another 10 years.
All right. You got some big stars in here. You got Olivia Munn. You got Kevin Dillon, Nick Schwartzen, Dax Shepard. Pretty good list there. Now, do you have to go recruit him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a whole horse trade right there. I had to get, because, you know, you have to get certain people with a certain, what they call Q number, which means they have a certain international value. And Dax and Olivia had enough to sort of get me greenlit for this movie. So I went to Olivia and I said, "Hey, Olivia, Dax is in. If you want to join." And then I went to Dax and said, "Hey, Dax, Olivia's in." So I had to pull every trick in the book to get this thing made.
But the Q rating, explain that, though. Is that how movies are made, or some movies that may not get made, they get made because of somebody's Q rating who comes in?
Yes. I mean, they basically, I really don't agree with this whole formula that they go by, because I don't think, what somebody's Q rating in Germany and somebody's Q rating in Korea, how that helps make a better movie. I'd rather get the right two people for the movie than, depend on something foreign. But what they do is they can then pre-sell all the money. It's sort of like hedging their bet before they even finance the movie.
We're talking to Josh Duhamel. The movie is called Buddy Games. When's it? Is it released the Thanksgiving weekend?
Today.
Oh,
today. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So we got a great release. Ron, this is the best weekend we could have asked for, honestly.
Yeah.
400 screens right now, which is good considering, what we're in the middle of. So this has been a long time coming. This has been something I've had to, push and pull and drag and kick for years to get it done. And it's been, I just can't wait for people to see it now.
Is there a love scene with you?
Yes, there is a love scene. It's really romantic. You should check it out.
Well, give me a little bit more than that. Is there a woman involved?
All right. So it's me and Olivia, and we're at my parents' place on a Sunday morning for brunch, and she decides to spice things up a little bit. So she sort of stops me in the bathroom as I'm washing my hands, and it sort of happens right there. So, yeah, it's not the most romantic love scene you've ever seen. And the scene itself, I'm sort of looking at myself. There's a picture of myself as a child as I'm doing it. And I have to stop because it's too uncomfortable. I feel like I'm staring, my childhood self is staring at me.
But how, but are they always awkward when you do love scenes?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're not nearly as fun as they might look on screen because, you've got a bunch of hairy camera dudes around and, your sound guys and, there's grips and gaffers all around. So it's never as sort of sensual as it might appear on screen. It's pretty uncomfortable, actually.
Well, I was in a Sandler movie, Blended, and I had to kiss a woman, and I just met her, a Wendy Covey McClendon, I think, from the Goldbergs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Sandler says, it's not in the script. And then Sandler goes, "Danny, I think you need to kiss Wendy." And, I didn't know her. And next thing I know, Sandler goes, "Okay, action." And then I'm kissing Wendy Covey McClendon. And I go, how awkward is this? But it's not like that with you guys. Like, you know Olivia Munn, don't you?
Well, yes, I do know Olivia. But, sometimes that's the way it is, that awkward, because I've done things where... they shoot these things out of order. And I've had scenes where I just met the girl 5 minutes earlier and we have to do like the love scene first day of the first, of shooting. So it's not the worst, but it's just truly part of the job.
Wendy McClendon Covey, Fritzy is telling me, I had it in reverse order. So Wendy McClendon Covey, very talented woman from the Goldbergs. How would you assess your Vikings?
Well, we are, I just feel like the Vikes this year, for whatever reason, we got off to a really slow start. Won, two games in a row, almost three games in a row. And than lose to the Cowboys last week. So I don't, I don't feel like this is probably our year. I never count them out, but I don't know. Until we get that quarterback that I feel like can put us over the top, I don't think it's going to be any different than any of years past.
Oh, so you're off the Kirk Cousins bandwagon.
I have been for a couple of years now.
You have. I remember talking to Josh when he left the stadium after that was a playoff game, right? A couple of years ago.
That was in Minnesota after Walsh missed that 24-yard field goal.
The Seattle game.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh God. It's like there's a new way. They find a new way to break your heart every year.
And then he calls, and then I know that he just lost in dramatic fashion. And, you know, just like I miss that hurt as a fan. I don't have that because I don't root for anybody. I root for a storyline. But to have the high when it's really high,
yeah.
But also that pain, the reason why it hurts so much is you care so much.
Yeah. And, you know, Russell Wilson just has our number. He's been doing this now for a few years. He did it again this year. I don't know if you remember the game. It was a game like 3 or game 4. Dude just has the ability to take a team back. And that to me is what the Vikings are missing, is that quarterback who can, you know, that if there's 2 minutes left, your team still has a shot, you know, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or, you know, Brady, although he didn't play great last night, you know, guys like Russell Wilson, you just know that those guys are going to give you a shot.
But does it hurt knowing that Green Bay still has Aaron Rodgers?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah, they've had a top quarterback now for 20-some years, haven't they?
Now, you didn't bring up Rodgers to Olivia Munn, did you?
No, why would I?
Wait, didn't she date? She dated Aaron Rodgers.
Are you asking me if I whispered that in her ear while we were
No, I was just curious if it came, because you're a Viking fan. She dated Aaron Rodgers. I didn't know if that would come up in conversation, break the ice a little bit.
Yeah, we talked about it. I mean, I love Aaron. I think that he's, you know, he's truly one of the greatest arm talents I've ever seen. So as a football fan, I wanted to pick her brain about him. So, you know, what was he like? What did he look like? I didn't ask her that.
I didn't think so. the movie with you got Kevin Dillon in here too from Entourage, Dax Shepard, Olivia Munn, and Nick Schwartzen. Schwartzy's great. He's crazy.
Yeah. he's crazy, all right. But he's fantastic in this movie. He was the first guy on board when we first wrote it, and you know this is I'm truly excited for people to see it because it. We've shown it now in a few theaters and it absolutely kills. It's extreme though, Dan. I'm going to warn you. We push the envelope. My favorite movies are movies like, you know, The Hangover and Old School and Dumb and Dumber. So I wanted to do something that sort of pushes the envelope like those, like Phillips and Farrelly Brothers, those directors do. And you know, it works, and I'm excited for people to see this thing after all these years.
Yeah, it's been a while. You've been talking about this for 5 years. You know,
yeah, so that's because of a certain. There's a few reasons for that. It was we ended up. I won't get into the legal stuff, but we control the movie now, and you know, with COVID and everything else, we had to push it back to now. But ultimately, we couldn't have asked for a better date. I mean, I'm really excited about this weekend, and you know. It's the perfect Thanksgiving movie.
It sounds like it. Yeah. Fun for the entire family. Happy Thanksgiving. And I think either you're ready to blow a kiss to me or your screen just froze up. But say good. Say hello to Axel and thank you, Josh. That's
are you there? You are.
Yeah. You froze on me.
All right, man.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You going to be at the AT&T this year?
I don't know. We're trying to figure that out. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to travel with the entire group here.
Well, I'd sure love to see you there, man.
Well, it would be great. And we would love to go, but I'm not quite sure. But have a great Thanksgiving.
All right.
Great to talk to you. Good luck with the movie.
All right, brother. Thanks for having me.
That's Josh Duhamel. He's actor, writer, producer, director. And the movie is Buddy Games.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
He's Kyle Trask. I think he's the leading candidate for the Heisman. Feels like it's his Heisman to lose. And it feels like he's an overnight sensation. Kyle, it took a long time for you to get to this point. If you were going to sum up your high school and college career leading up to this season, how would you do it?
I would just say it's been a crazy journey. It's been just a lot of hard work and just persistence and just, trust in the process. And at the end of the day, I'm glad to be where I am now, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
But you were a backup in high school. Did you start a game in high school?
No, I never started a game in high school.
Okay, so how did – and then how long did it take before you started your first game at Florida?
Well, I almost got my degree at Florida before I even stepped foot on the field. So, I mean, I was going into my I guess I didn't start until my redshirt junior year. That was last year.
How do you explain this, though? That here you are, you've 31 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I think you're the leading candidate for the Heisman right now. How do you explain this, Kyle?
I just trusted the process, I was back up for, I don't know, what it was 6 or 7 years, but, in my head, I always, knew I was going to get that opportunity. So I kind of just, grinded it out, and I finally got my shot, and I just tried to make the most of it.
What did you learn being a backup quarterback? And you were a backup quarterback to De'Arik King, who's a great quarterback at Miami. Felipe Franks was there, who I think is now at Arkansas. What did you learn backing these guys up?
Obviously it's very humbling because, you're not getting any attention or anything like that, and you just kind of have to sit on the sidelines on game day and you put in that work all week. But at the same time, it taught me a lot about hard work and, just staying consistent in my preparation because, you're a backup, so you're always one play away from going in the game. And, if that ever happens, you got to be, ready to go and just as prepared as a starter.
Who was your favorite team growing up, NFL?
I grew up in Houston, so I was everything Houston guy. So I was a huge Texans fan growing up.
Did you meet J.J. Watt or Deshaun Watson yet?
No. I think somebody won like a raffle to have J.J. Watt come to a pep rally in high school. So I actually did get the chance to meet J.J. Watt. He came to our school at like a pep rally. And I don't know what it was about, but he was just gave us like a 10-minute talk and left. But it was still pretty cool.
Could be weird, though. He could be hitting you next season in the NFL.
One step at a time. I mean, that would be pretty cool, though.
Have you done a Heisman pose with your buddies?
No.
I think you just lied to me, Kyle. It's okay. I don't blame you for lying, but I can tell that you probably joked around a little bit.
Probably, growing up, playing in the backyard, I would hit one, but, as of lately, I'm kind of just focused on, we're really trying to get this national championship. That's our team's main focus. And, we're just trying to take it one game at a time right now.
Look at you saying all the right things there.
Absolutely.
So this may come down to you against Alabama. Got a few games before that, but you expecting to meet Alabama for the chance to play in the Final Four?
Obviously we're not blind to that possibility. If that happens, they're a great team. It's going to be a good challenge for us, and we'll be ready to go.
Well, congrats so far. Been a pretty good run there, but he's not an overnight sensation. Took him a long time to get to this point. Good luck against Kentucky this weekend, Kyle. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Kyle Trask, the Florida quarterback. Florida's now 6-1, and I think it's his Heisman to lose. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.